I went up and gave him a look at my copy or my beginnings of my shoebox collection of Beaver magazine clippings, which were I was clipping out of them, just clipping out paragraphs and things that had anything to do with Indians. I came back a few days later, and he said that he thought that I had a spirit different than most all the other white kids that he'd ever known, and said that one day I was to tell my kind how bad Indian people were being treated. And I must have made that promise to him 150 times. Like every day I would meet him, we'd have the same discussion. And 60-some years later, I thought the time was about right that I sat down and started to draw out the words, as he would say, and to draw them true. And I had three friends that I've known for a long time that had gone through this era, and they trusted me enough to tell their stories.
Thank you, Robert. And I read the book and I heard the audio. I very much was impressed with the stories and how they were so deeply moving. A lot of us did not know about the residential schools, and I believe, just like you do, that these stories should be told in all the schools.
Thank you. I also agree. I think one of the long-term objectives is to start telling the truth about our history. I think the country and the Canadians are mature enough to know the true history of our country, and not unlike a lot of other colonial developed countries, we did not treat the First Peoples very well, and we took advantage of them wherever we could, and but also we've tried to shield ourselves from the reality of the calamity that this caused amongst a lot of proud people.
Yeah, if I could speak to that as well. Speaking as someone who sort of came into this later, being the producer of the audiobook, it was something I knew about, but only in a very general sense. And again, it's a very sort of little-known piece of Canadian history, but also a very important one. Very, very dark, but very important that everyone be aware of this. And also, speaking as an outsider, one of the things I loved about reading the book, I had to just read it before even producing it, I was struck by just how the approach and care that was taken. Throughout the book, there's sort of this continuity. The idea is to bring about sort of understanding and reconciliation. And I think Bob and I sort of share this viewpoint. Bob and I have spoke several times about how we both feel the way to get past things like prejudice, it's not done on a political level. It's done through conversation. It's done through education. It's done through understanding. It's done through just talking to people and understanding where they come from.
Yes, I agree. And that's why the stories are so important to be told. Would you like to add anything else, Robert?
Yes, well, I'd like to just...
I'm sure we could talk forever about this thing.
Sure.
I would like to describe the cover of the book, which, you know, you go into a bookstore and you see a lot of different covers on books, and you wonder how they get developed. And until you sit down to do it yourself, you really don't give much thought to it. But Wawate, for those of you that don't understand Cree or Oji-Cree languages, means Northern Lights. And the cover is green with the Aurora Borealis. There's two flags that the Canadian, our current Canadian flag, and then the Red Ensign, and a Golden Eagle feather in between the two. And one of the problems I had in doing this was this is not my story. This is the story of Esther, Bunny, Stanley, and Chief Robert Joseph. And how do I describe myself as the author? And one day a lady says, why don't you just say as told by Robert P. Wells by Indian residential school survivors? And that seemed to work real well. And the other thing that's on the cover of the book, it says, the Northern Lights are spirit angels that lift us to our feet when our wings have trouble remembering how to fly. So you're going to have to listen to the story or read the book.
I was going to say we could talk about the making of the audiobook, since they're going to be listening to it.
Yes.
The audiobook was a neat experience because I come from a broadcast background. My company typically does things like jingles and commercials and sound effects. And Bob approached me and said, I've written this book. I want to do an audiobook. And I thought that sounded like a very interesting project. And it was neat how it came together because Bob was able to round up all these volunteers to read the book. And I don't know if this was by accident or by design, but the finished product became this sort of community effort in the end. It really had this feeling of this community coming together to tell these stories.
Yes, I think it was meant to be. People came from the mayor's office here at Queen's University, St. Lawrence College, Cataraqui Native Friendship Center, the Limestone Board of Education. A very special thanks goes out to the Kingston Cataraqui Rotary Club, who was really a catalyst to bring people together and become part of the community within their own organization and outside of it. And for instance, the cataract youth from LaSalle High School came and read lines out of the book, and it just made it so much nicer and much more special to see that their people wanted to be a part of it all. People came and gave of themselves and their voices to partake in reading the audiobook. I intentionally did not read any in the book. I don't read well out aloud. And so I got myself out of that very nicely. But a great deal of thanks go to all the people who participated in causing this to be. There are a lot of people in our world that don't read for one reason or the other, and it was very important to me at the onset that the book would become available to everybody who wanted to learn or hear the story.
We are very happy here at CFRC to now be part of this also, because the stories are so important to be told. And through the media, we have a greater opportunity to reach out and reach to a great number of people who listen to these broadcasts.
Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/CFRC.
This is Sheila Rosalie on Aboriginal Voices at CFRC 101.9 FM, or streaming live on the internet at www.cfrc.ca. And you can also hear us on local cable 282. I'm very happy to announce that CFRC will rebroadcast the stories of Esther, Bunny, and Stanley from the book Wawate, which was written by author Robert P. Wells. The audio of Wawate was produced by John Sanfilippo of Titan Sound, TYTON, Kingston, Ontario. The rebroadcast will be aired consecutively, 3 weeks in a row, on the radio program Aboriginal Voices at 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. on Tuesdays. The first story, the story of Esther, will air on Tuesday, January 28, 2014. The next story, the story of Bunny, will air the following week, February 4, 2014. And the third story, the story of Stanley, will air the following week, which is February 11, 2014. I hope you tune in and hear these very important stories on Aboriginal Voices at CFRC 101.9 FM, or streaming live on the internet at www.cfrc.ca. And you can also hear us on local cable 282.
You are listening to Aboriginal Voices on CFRC, Queen's Radio 101.9 FM.
Robert, again, thank you so much for considering CFRC. so that we can be part of this wonderful story. And I'm going to leave the last word now to you and John Sanfilippo.
Well, I think the thanks go out to you and all you listeners, because the whole objective was, as I said earlier, to get as many people involved in seeing if we can become better ancestors than our forefathers have.
Wawate the Book was written by author Robert P. Wells. Wawate the Audiobook was produced by myself at Titan Sound in Kingston.
The following is from longtime CBC News anchor Peter Truman. It's a book review for Robert P. Wells' book, Wawate.
Peter Truman's thoughts on Wawate, read by John Sanfilippo. The book makes it clear not everyone responsible for the 100-year history of the residential schools was a monster, but the effect of the schools, even the better ones, was monstrous. That the people in charge of Aboriginal affairs failed to see what misery they would bring was not just misguided, but was criminally stupid. It makes one glad to be alive in 2013, when the Western world is relatively humane, but those early errors in our country's history make one wonder what we are blind about today. During the time of the residential schools, there were even a few people in evidence that I would describe as evil. In particular, the Anglican principal of Pelican Lake Indian Residential School, Reverend Marshall, more to be reviled than revered. He was no man of any god I've ever heard of. Indeed, he was a racist brute. I quite agree that the book should be part of our school curricula.
Wawate, the book written by Robert P. Wells, is now available at Select, Chapters, and Indigo bookstores across the country.
This happened many years ago. I remember that awful day as if it were yesterday.
When I was 6 years old, I ended up in an Indian residential school. I spent 10 lost years of my life there.
Knowing what I know now, I wish that I had hidden so that they could not have found me.
Hello, I'm Bob Wells, and I authored Wawate. My dear friend Moochum Joe said that I had a spirit that was different than most white kids that he knew. And he asked me to draw the words on paper that told of how bad Indian people were being treated and to draw them true.
I have never forgotten looking out of the train window and seeing my parents crying.
So 65 years later, the time was getting to where I'd better get started, and sat down and started to scribble out Wawate.
I will never forget how we kids would gather around and watch the Wawate, the Northern Lights. There, see, that one is the spirit of my mama who died when I was little. She has come to dance for me. She is telling me to be strong and that she loves me.
What I hope that you get out of this book is an understanding of the history and the dilemma that people are faced with today, and that we as a nation can live in better harmony than we have in the past, and that we can all enjoy the fruits and benefits that the great country of Canada provides.
Tell this country about the real history between us. Our mutual healing and reconciliation depend on it.
The future does not just happen, it is created. It is for this reason alone that I tell my story.
This is Sheila Rosalie on Aboriginal Voices at 101.9 FM, CFRC. And you just heard the trailer from the book Wawate, which was written by author Robert P. Wells. And the audio was produced by John Sanfilippo of Titan Sound, T-Y-T-O-N, in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And now my brother, Russ Birch, will play for you, You're My Star.
Thank you.
That pretty instrumental was by my brother, Russ Birch. You're My Star. And here's my dad, Jim Birch, reciting The Man in the Glass.
The Man in the Glass. When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, then go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say. For it isn't your father, your mother, or wife whose judgment upon you must pass, but the fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the man staring back from the glass. Some people may say you're a straight-shooting chum. They may call you a wonderful guy, but the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't stare him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest, for he's with you right clean to the end. You have passed your most difficult, dangerous test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the whole world down the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartaches and tears if you cheated the man in the glass.
You just heard my father, Jim Birch, reciting what he called The Man in the Glass, but I found out the actual name of that poem is called The Guy in the Glass, and it was written by Peter Dale Wimbrough Sr. There's a website out there that's produced by his son, Dale Wimbrough, and it tells all about the story of the poem The Guy in the Glass, and I'm going to tell you about it now. Dale Jr. says this, "Our father, Peter Dale Wimbrough Sr., wrote the poem, The Guy in the Glass, in 1934. It was published in the American magazine at that time, and the copyright was assigned to our father. The poem has become also known incorrectly as The Man in the Glass, or sometimes The Man in the Mirror. But the thought is the same, the message clear. You can fool the whole world down the pathway of years, but you can't fool the guy staring back from the glass." Since he wrote the poem in 1934 and it was published, it has taken on a life of its own and is usually seen as anonymous. Sadly, some people have even taken it to putting their name on it as their own creation. It escapes us as to why someone would falsely take credit for a poem about being honest with yourself. One fellow in Salt Lake City, Utah, said he wrote it in 1946, and the list goes on. Dale goes on to say that each word was chosen by his father carefully and has special meaning. We are immensely proud of his work and welcome any and all dialogue from interested parties. Our hope here is just to set the record straight and to provide the poem as it was actually written for any and all to use as our father's gift to the world. Our father was the most gifted and caring person we ever knew. He would have wanted his work to be a gift, and so do we. All we ask is that you properly credit him somehow in your publication as the author. So here today on Aboriginal Voices, I hope you enjoyed The Guy in the Glass by Peter Dale Wimbrough. I know when Dad recited this poem to us, he was trying to give us a life lesson. So I want to say thank you to Peter Dale Wimbrough's family for your father's wonderful poem. It's been a blessing to so many of us. Up next, some great messages for you.
I'm David Suzuki. Cut your heat and energy use by 10% and you'll be making a real difference combating global warming. The future is in your hands.
Shrink your footprint, grow your wallet, cool the planet. Find out how at davidsuzuki.org.
I'm David Suzuki. The average lunch or dinner travels 2,400 kilometers to get to your table. Eating local means combating global warming. The future is on your table.
Eat your way to a healthier planet. Find out how at davidsuzuki.org.
And now more great music. Robbie Robertson with Golden Feather and Shelley Morningsong with Heritage. Enjoy.
far for this heritage, where the spirit wind reminds me of who I am. In my heart I walk the prairie, I am driven by my calling to uphold the ancient secrets of my past. I recall the elder stories and the wisdom in their eyes. I must teach them to my children. I will never sacrifice my wind reminds me of who I am. Heritage, our fathers fought for this. I can hear their distant voices as they tell me to hold on to my heritage. There's a lesson in the wolf's loud cry and every fallen leaf. The Creator's perfect plan is shown in these. I will sing the songs of days gone by. I will live in harmony and remember what it means to know my heritage. Voices as they tell me to hold on to my heritage. I will sing the songs of days gone by. I will dance a dance of peace. As I raise my hands up to the sky, I remember what it means to know my heritage. I will sing the songs of days gone by. I will dance a dance of peace. As I raise my hands up to the sky, I remember what it means to know my heritage.
I love those two last songs you just heard. Shelley Morningsong singing Heritage, Robbie Robertson singing Golden Feather. And now a song from the Little Wolf Band, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
How Great Thou Art by the Little Wolf Band. This is Sheila Rosalie at 101.9 FM, CFRC, Queen's University Radio, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And I'm so glad that you've joined me here today on Aboriginal Voices. I hope that all your dreams, hopes, and resolutions come true.
You're listening to Aboriginal Voices with Sheila Rosalie on CFRC.
And now, back to some music. And in the spotlight, I've got a surprise for you. And here she is, the one and only, the beautifully talented Della Reese. Just for you.
With you for the rest of my whole life through. Don't you know I was yours from the very day that you happened to come my way? I'm under your spell. By the look in my eyes, can't you tell? Can't you tell? Now don't you know every beat of my I want you slow. Don't you know?
there should be no roses, no summer nights to make me dream as I do. Perhaps I might forget you, but in my heart speak, I hear violins, it's magic. The stars desert the skies, they rush, they nestle in your eyes, it's magic. Without a golden wand or mystic charm, fantastic things begin whenever you hold me in your arms. When we walk hand in hand, this whole world is a wonderland. Honey, it's magic. How else can I explain those rainbows when there is no rain? Oh, it's magic. Why do I tell myself these things that happen are all really true? When in my heart I know the magic is my love for you. You just sigh, the song begins. You speak to me, I hear violins. Twinkling stars desert the skies, they rush, they nestle in your eyes. Why do I tell myself these things that happen are really true? Because my heart knows the only magic is my love for you.
It's Magic, the wonderful Della Reese from 1966. And you heard two before that, both from 1959. That Reminds Me, and her big hit of 1959, You Don't Know. And in case you don't know, Della Reese's mother was Cherokee. And I'm so happy to find this out because I just love her. And I can play her lots now on Aboriginal Voices. And I hope some of my listeners love her as much as I do. Our favorite angel, Della Reese. Della was born Della Reese Patricia Early. Her mom, Nellie Mitchell, was a Native American Cherokee. And her father, an African-American steelworker, Richard Thaddeus Early. As a young girl, Della always loved to sing, and she was a very curious lady, so she was always learning something new. She was discovered by the gospel singer Mahalia Jackson, and Mahalia took her with her a few summers so she could sing backup for her when they did their concerts throughout southern United States. So that's how Della started out as a gospel singer. She sang in her own church, of course, and in other churches. Della has great faith, and in her later years, she became an ordained minister. She's been a singer, an actress, a talk show host, and most of us remember her as Tess in Touched by an Angel. Here is Della Reese singing, How Great Thou Art. Enjoy.
Thank you. God. When I, in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, and I hear the rolling thunder. The universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, my God, my soul sings to thee. The glory to my God, I give the glory. Only my God deserves the glory for the things that he has done. I want to Should I gain any praise? Please as the praise, let go to Calvary, because this Lord.
God, my great God has done.
That was the wonderful Della Reese from her 1966 album, Give It to God. You just heard How Great Thou Art. This is Sheila Rosalie on Aboriginal Voices at CFRC 101.9 FM, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. Happy New Year, good health and happiness in 2014. You'll hear a great song now from Bear Fox from Akwesasne. She's singing Ananquasona, Medicines. Enjoy.
Nyawakoa, nyawakoa, onunkwasunga. Yo hayo we ahe, ayo hayo we ahe, yo hayo we ahe. Yo hayo we ahe, ayo hayo we ahe, yo hayo we ahe.
Bear Fox singing Ananquasona, meaning medicines, from her 2013 CD, Diamond. And here is the one and only Fred Astaire from his 1935 movie, Top Hat, singing and dancing Top Hat and Tails. Bye for now.
I just got an invitation through the mail.
Your presence requested this evening is formal. Top hat, white tie, and tails.
Nothing now could take the wind out of my sails. 'Cause I'm invited to step out this evening in top hat, white tie, and tails. Oh, I'm putting on my top hat, tying up my white tie, brushing off my tails. I'm dudeing up my shirt front, putting in the shirt stud, polishing my nails. I'm stepping out, my dear, to breathe an atmosphere that simply reeks with class. And I trust that you'll excuse my dust when I step on the gas. Or I'll be there, putting down my top hat, mussing up my white tie, dancing in my tail. Thank you.